I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Think about how few laptop charging stations you see on your way to work. You know what I mean? You see 100 gas stations, but...
There's like a bunch of businessmen huddled around a post in like the middle of a park. It is Lore Boys here, the internet's number one fake history podcast, according to us, and also Wired Magazine. We're once again going to be exploring the reaches of our galaxy for profit. I am Autark Peter O'Donohue, and I am joined by...
I'm Turok, the dinosaur hunter, Ethan Palmer.
I'm James, just James. Yeah, I like the concept of like an autocracy, a plutocracy, and a turocracy is my chosen form of government. that's the one that I'm gonna vote for.
Oh, yeah. That might be the quickest we ever got to an episode title.
Like 40 seconds
in history, man. Yeah.
Trial by bow or something like that.
Yeah. As you can see from the title, oh listener, we are going to be covering Killzone today. This was a request from Ritokun12 and seconded by Han Dolo over on that there Lore Boys Discord. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do Metro this week, but the audiobook is just too long and I haven't had the time because we're doing Hot Girl Summer here in Quebec now.
For sure.
So. I don't have time to listen to books no more. And it's just, I just didn't get through it, but I will be going, like, I will get to that. I wanted to shout out patron and Discord member Christoph as well, because he had pointed out on Discord that Metro would have been a really good companion episode for Roadside Picnic, which I did 2 weeks ago now at time of recording. Mm-hmm. And he's absolutely right. Like, that was the plan. So he's got his finger on the pulse for that one, at least. It's just,
yeah.
No bueno. Can't do it.
And according to Peter, the best name on our Discord.
I think so. Yeah.
We've all got our favorites.
Captain Big Willie was pretty good, too. If you are not on the Lore Boys Discord, go to theloreboys.com/about to join, where we can then ban you for not being on the Discord. All right.
There's also links in the description of this episode.
Yeah. So however you want to get there, we have multiple maps through the jungle that you can find to make your way to our Discord.
Better run through the jungle, man.
So, Killzone. Boys. Mm-hmm. Jimbo, you seemed excited when you found out we were doing this, so why don't you go first? Are you familiar with the Killzone games?
I played on PS2, like, so long ago. The reason why I got excited is because I know it's the same studio that made Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and so to learn more about, like...
Right? Guerrilla.
Oh. That's right.
Yeah. Maybe published by Resolution.
There's a good YouTube documentary about their studio and how they moved from Killzone to Horizon, which I can't remember. But
is it the NoClip one with Daniel Dwyer, the Irish guy? That's just right. Fucking fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Yeah, I played a bit of Killzone. I always liked it. You got to shoot the guys with the spooky eyes.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Ethan, are you familiar with the series at all?
Yeah, I played I guess it was 3 that came out with the PS3, I think, like the launch title. For the PS3?
That's Killzone 2. Killzone 3 was like the launch title for both the PS Move and 3D televisions for some reason.
That's weird. Yeah, I played the one that came out with the PS3. My old roommate, Danny, had it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I am right in the middle here. I'm the Venn diagram of this one. I've played Killzones 2 and 3 only. So just for the uninformed, the Killzone games are Sony exclusive series of shooters, so they've only ever been on PlayStation consoles. Most of them are FPS, I believe 5 of them are, and Killzone Liberation on the PSP is like a top-down isometric twin-stick shooter.
Okay.
There's 2 handheld, 3 regular ones, and then Killzone Shadowfall, which was a launch title for the PS4. I don't know a single person on the planet who's played that.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, there you go.
it's where the Killzone worlds and the Dungeons and Dragons planes of existence collide.
Yeah, it's Killzone Shadowfall.
Killzone the Shadowfell.
The games take place on the planets of Vecta and Helgen, which are in the Alpha Centauri binary star system. Alpha Centauri is a real star system and has the distinction of being the closest solar system to our own. Mm-hmm. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Earth. It's 4.37 light years, which is quite close, like space real estate wise.
Yeah. Not functionally, but theoretically.
Yeah, but I mean, four and a half year old light is like, you know, still kind of fresh enough
that
you're just like, oh, so that's what's going on in the star system right now, right?
And McConaughey went farther than that in a movie, so I can't be that far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And he still made it home in time to knock all his daughter's books off her shelf.
It's true.
Dallas Buyers Club, I haven't seen it yet, but I like the sci-fi concept, honestly. and obviously, over here at Loreboys HQ, we've crunched the numbers. Don't worry about it. Alpha Centauri is 1.5106 to the exponent 16 football fields away.
Football fields away.
Good.
Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, well,
I don't know when that's going to stop being funny, but I put
Not
it
yet.
In here anyway. the main star of Alpha Centauri, the main star of the system is Alpha Centauri A. Or also known as Rigel Cantoris, which sounds like a reporter, frankly. He'd be like,
Rigel Cantoris on the scene.
Yeah, exactly.
The Alpha Centauri system, 4.7 light years away from Earth.
Today on the BBC.
Turns out this planet is a vacuum.
On the day that I'm recording this, my children are starting high school, but by the time they receive it, they'll be done.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck was I gonna say? Oh, right. This is real Wikipedia science for the moment. So Rigel Cantoris is like our IRL name for the primary star of the Alpha Centauri system.
The Alpha in Alpha Centauri.
It is. Yeah. NASA figures that Alpha Centauri A is about 10% larger than our sun, so it's a comparable size. The second star in the binary is Alpha Centauri B, or Toloman. I don't know what the hell that means.
With a P?
Toloman, no, not like Ptolemy. T-O-L-I. Toloman.
Oh.
Yeah. Or like the Tully monster, I guess, which is a different thing. and this one is about 90% the mass of our sun. So total, the binary is two suns, but they are not divided up equally.
I saw some YouTube videos, and if you want to pick up chicks, you don't want to be Alpha Centauri A. You actually want to be Alpha Centauri B, because it taps into their lizard brains and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What if I'm a Leo, though? Does that still apply to me?
If you're a Sigma male and a Leo, you should be okay.
Okay. Thank God.
There is a third star in the system. However, it is too small and weak. So this is the Sigma male star.
Yeah.
It's too small and weak to change it from a binary to a trinary. This is the red dwarf star called Proxima Centauri, which was discovered in 1915. Proxima is actually the closest star to our sun.
But Proximal, too faint to be visible with the naked eye.
Yes, that's just because the two Chad stars actually just appear as one Chad star in the night sky because they're so close to each other.
How'd you know that?
I have the Wikipedia page up in front of me.
Oh my gosh, you sounded so smart for a second.
So I wish Peter asked more questions, because I did know that it was like about 4 light years away, and like I knew a couple things about this. I knew Proxima Centauri, but
you knew a lot about Cygnus as well, like 2 weeks ago.
I know some things about stars. It's one of the nice things that interests me.
Yeah. Well, do you have any more like popsicle stick facts that you want to shoot out here?
what's the Snapple cap trivia for the day, huh?
Yeah.
With the Wikipedia citation.
Yeah. Yeah. Proxima Centauri flew the Spirit of St. Louis from New York City to Paris in 1915. I don't think that happened at all.
Yeah, well, okay, so Alpha Centauri A and Alpha Centauri B had a baby, Proxima Centauri, but it was kidnapped, but it wasn't actually kidnapped, it was just too faint to see with the naked eye, so everybody thought it was kidnapped.
Wow.
There we go. We've got the final fusion of that ridiculous joke. Something that was pretty interesting that came up after the games came out was the discovery of two and possibly three planets within the Alpha Centauri star system.
Oh, yeah.
So when the first game came out, all we knew of was three stars. And then in, let's see, I have it here. Yeah, Killzone Shadowfall, the final game, came out in 2013. And in 2016, Proxima Centauri B was discovered, which is a small planet that orbits the red dwarf. And then Proxima Centauri C was actually discovered last year in January 2020.
Oh, cool.
So 3 and 7 years after they were just like, yeah, whatever, there's two planets out there, they ended up finding two planets. Yeah. Which is just like, oh, wow, fuck. I wish I'd bought a lottery ticket.
Just today in the news, the International Space Station got hit by some of our own space debris in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
The Canada arm actually got hit and still functional, but it's damaged. So it's one of those scary things. The more things we send up there, like the less chance we have get out, because we're going to
trap ourselves
with our own trash.
Elon Musk just actively destroying the orbit around the planet.
Yeah.
It seems almost like malevolent, like vindictive of him with the rate at which he's just throwing junk into the atmosphere.
Yeah. I think he wants to make his real estate claim on Mars sound seem even better. He's playing the long con.
Yeah.
Proxima Centauri B is within the habitable Goldilocks zone around Proxima Centauri, meaning it is theorized that it would be able to support bears. however, we don't currently know if it has an atmosphere, because it's it is within the Goldilocks zone, but if it doesn't have a strong enough magnetic field or a strong enough atmosphere, then even the red dwarf's radiation will just blast it all away. Despite the the actual location and the good schools, it may not be actually livable.
Yeah. Location and good schools, but if there's uranium in the drinking water.
Yeah, exactly. As far as Killzone is concerned, the two planets that the game take place on, Helgen and Vecta, orbit Centauri A and B, respectively. So in the series, there is no main planet around Proxima Centauri.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it takes place on Helgen. I guess you're there at the start of the game whenever, the Elder Dragon comes back to herald the end times, essentially, and save you from your own execution.
It's Skyrim.
It's Helgen. Helgen's the town that you're in at the start of Skyrim.
Right. Yes. So no, sadly. The first game takes place on Vecta, and so does Shadowfall. Whereas 2 and 3 take place on Helgen, but we'll get into why exactly. Okay. Colonization of these two planets was undertaken by the UCN, or the United Colonial Nations. The League of Nations after World War I and the United Nations after World War II, the United Colonial Nations was formed after World War...
Three.
I got it.
Turok, yeah.
World War Turok.
World War III this time. There's dinosaurs.
That'd be fucking wild. World War III.
Dinosaurs versus drones. Go ahead.
The Plants v. Zombies sequel we all wanted.
DVD.
Dinosaurs versus drones. World War III takes place in 2060. It was waged over resources and lasted from 2055 to 2059. United Colonial Nations was formed after World War III in 2060. I misread that.
Yeah.
Because the war was from 55 to 59. I thought this was a really cool detail because just out of curiosity, I Googled what the projected run out of fossil fuel time is on our actual Earth, and it's 2060. So I think whoever was writing the unit or the lore here did the same Wikipedia thing that I did.
Yeah.
Google's when Alberta out of oil at 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
it's 2060.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this now on your rubber condo on Pacific Garbage Island, I'm sorry, because it seems like we're on a pretty good track for Killzone to be real.
You should from your garbage island. You should be pretty thankful that you thought to download these episodes ahead of time before the internet went down.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. I'm thinking about switching from my laptop being a gas-powered gaming machine to an electric version at one of these days. But yeah. The extra torque you get with a gas gaming is just so much
better. You got to understand, electric laptop technology just isn't there yet. Maybe in 5 to 10 years I'll consider investing, but the batteries just can't support it.
You get your tax credit from the Quebec government too when you buy an electric computer, right?
think about how few laptop charging stations you see on your way to work. You know what I mean? You see 100 gas stations, but
there's like a bunch of businessmen huddled around a post in like the middle of a park.
It's like going to the airport when there's like the one plug that everybody's just gravitated towards.
You're trying to sleep at an airport and someone's revving their fucking laptop.
He was filling the cabin with smoke. It's like, oh yeah, no, we're at cruising altitude. You could pull the ripcord on your laptop now. It's safe. Oh, Christ. During World War III, again, Einstein said it, so it's got to be true. There was the widespread use of nuclear weapons that made Earth even worse, if you can imagine it. So in 2060, our most powerful governments and corporations began to invest in spacefaring technology to save us from them, if you think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah. Right. We know we fucked up. We want to take you to a new place where we can fuck up anew.
Like, yeah, exactly. Okay. But like, your grandkids will be the ones like dealing with that, and we're like, we can kick a can down the road.
Yeah. Your options are a horrible existence here on Earth, or a horrible existence on a spaceship that you won't survive the trip of to a distant star system.
Yeah, it's like well,
okay.
I don't know.
Kids might make it.
Yeah, exactly. One of them has a future for your children, who you will have to have on a dying spaceship at some point.
Yeah, you can't get hard in space, but we're going to figure out how.
Is that true?
That's apparently true.
Damn, that takes some stuff off my my bucket list.
Yeah. So
what? What's the? I'm so curious now. I want to look up space boners.
You'll get different results with that search query. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Turn safe search on, or maybe just search directly into Wikipedia. Like, I don't know what you want to do.
Oh, man.
In 2101, the UCN, which is the United Colonial Nations, launched a probe, which 10 years later reached Alpha Centauri and discovered that there were two planets that would eventually be colonized. One planet was Earth-like, and the other was more like Mars. Regardless, since it's the closest solar system to our own that we know of, this was going to be our hub for further space exploration and further like expanding out into the galaxy to, you know, get away from the Earth that we fucked up so bad. Originally, the UCN was just going to take care of setting up all these colonies themselves. But in an event that really reeks to high heaven of unfortunate accident, in quotes, six of their colony ships were destroyed in 2116 during what was called the Omen Incident, which that's probably a name they chose way later.
Yeah, not a good name to choose if it just happened, right?
Like, yeah, it seems a bit paranoid, right? Yeah. Spooked, the UCN opened up colonization to the highest bidder, which might be the most evil thing ever written.
The most prescient thing ever written, too.
Yeah.
The Omen backwards is Nemo. We should watch that movie backwards. Maybe there's another meaning.
Oh, my God. You've cracked the case.
it's about a father who imprisons his son in an aquarium and then feels guilty about it and gets him back at the end anyway.
Puts him in an anemone?
Yeah, an anemone. I guess if you watch it backwards, the end of the movie will be... We'll all be saved by a giant barracuda.
Oh, the barracuda is the hero.
The mama don't die.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the estranged mother comes back from buying smokes.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll do that after the episode. Instead of watching memes, we'll watch Finding Nemo backwards.
And he gets to become an egg and jump back into his mom.
Great. The winner of the bidding war, after watching Finding Nemo, I guess, was the Hellgast Corporation, helped by a massive loan from the Interplanetary Banking Guild. Hellgast, and Bernstein was accused of bribe. That's not real.
I was about to ask. I was like, that doesn't sound real.
That's not nice. They were accused of bribery by the other corporations. However, for legal reasons, we here at Loreboys must stretch that even by the end of the most recent game, Shadowfall, these are still only allegations. So, no libel here for the Hellgast Corporation.
That's quite some branding, calling your company Hellgast.
Yeah, I think this might be from some of the novelizations. This feels like they were working backwards from a scary name that had already been in a video game.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Conveniently, the Hellgast company had a mostly complete colonization fleet just ready to roll. At, you know, it's like, oh man, I can't believe you lost all those ships. We got replacements and all of this banking money. It's like, oh, well, we're the UN, and like that's pretty much the only thing that we answer to. You've got it. Right. Yeah, so their fleet was also not targeted during the destruction of the UCN ships. So it was just, it was a very focused attack on the colony ships.
Very
there,
convenient.
So. Very, very unfortunate accident you've had yourself there, the UN.
Oh my, HMS Hellgast, come in, come in. We've just received reports that six other ships have gone down. You gotta be careful. What a dire omen this is. What did you just say? never mind, we'll keep an eye out. Click.
It's like that, but it's kind of retro future. He's got the little bronze trumpet thing that just like rotates so you can talk to the guy in the engine room. It's analog. It can't get knocked out by like solar flares.
Yeah, exactly.
The Helgen fleet, or the Hellgast still fleet, at this point was launched in 2118 and arrived in Alpha Centauri 10 years later in 2128. Mismanagement led to the deaths of 2% of the colonists while in transit.
Damn.
Sounds about, that's, I mean, that's giving this project to corporations, right? It's like, it's always going to be the highest bidder. Like, it's always going to be like cut budgets as much as possible.
I was kind of shocked, like 2% isn't that bad for like a 10-year space journey.
Yeah, I mean, 2% isn't great when we're talking lives, but for a long time space journey, probably decent.
Better than expected.
It's like the life support went out on a few units, but it was a long weekend, bank holiday, so
get around to it.
They got the investment from the Interplanetary Banking Guild. You best believe that like people work from like, you know, 1 in the afternoon to 3:21 for some fucking reason. Like, that's the only time, that's the only time they're ever functioning.
Well,
the suits are just all the suits in a room with a projector of a beach, wearing like loud shirts, drinking cocktails in a ship.
I, Mr. Joseph Hellgast, think that if the ship workers simply hadn't unionized, we wouldn't have these problems.
True.
We just couldn't reach a bargain, and like 2% of them died while striking. So whatever, it's out of our hands. The first planet they arrived at was the shitty one, so the Mars-like one, which they named Helgen, after the company. The real-world fact that Alpha Centauri A is slightly larger and hotter than the sun kind of supports a drier and less forgiving environment, so even though they didn't know this planet... Okay, so this planet doesn't actually orbit that star in real life, right?
Sure.
The larger, hotter star does, like, you know, support the existence of a more barren Earth-sized planet in that area.
Do they, I guess, either in the fiction or in real life, and I don't know if you know this, because you said there are real-life planets, do you know if there's ever, like, day for everybody on the planet? Like, do they orbit between the stars at any point? Or is it, like, the two stars and they do a full circle outside both?
In the fiction, I never saw. I never saw anything like that. The Goldilocks planet around Proxima Centauri, we don't even know if it's, like, if it even spins, it may be tidally locked to Proxima, meaning it could just be day all the time on one side of the planet and frigid night all the time on the other side of the planet. So the like vertical equator would be kind of the habitable zone on the planet itself.
Yeah.
As far as I know, currently in real life, no planets actually orbit Alpha Centauri A at all. So Vecta is, you know, moved from one star to another. In the game, it's never explained as a regular day-night cycle. So, you know, it doesn't just shift from, like, it doesn't shift from, like, noon to noon in a 12-hour thing when you just, like, cross between two stars and it's, you know, day all the time sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be a season, right? Because the movement around the sun is your seasons.
Oh, right.
The spin on the axis is the days. So it'd just be like winter or summer is like day all day for both planets because you're just rotating from one star to another, and it would get kind of like dusky, and then you'd have a sun at either end of the horizon, and then like one would set and one would go up, and then it, they would just like shift back and forth like that.
Yeah, so that's not the, cool. That's not the fiction. Ooh. Pretty fucking cool. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. So back to the now named Helgen planet here. Despite the minor inconveniences of missing both light and oxygen, Helgen was discovered to be rich in resources. One of which is going to be our series Magic Rock. Take a drink, and it's called Petrosite.
Cool.
Petrosite. Yeah. It's just petrol with a scarier name. The company
keeps the bugs away.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh no, there's mosquitoes tonight. Oh, light some like a petrosite spiral in the middle of the table.
Yeah, yeah.
Burn straight through it. The Helgas Corporation deployed pre-built space stations to study the planet and manage the automated mining facilities that they'd put down on the surface. So for the moment, the company wasn't like, okay, well, we're not going to put the 98% of our remaining civilians, or our remaining colonists, on this very clearly hostile planet. It's sci-fi, we've got robots, don't worry about it. But they have space stations in orbit around Helgen now to,
mine it.
Yeah, make sure things are going well. Exactly. The rest of the colonial fleet moved on to the second planet that was discovered by the probe, the more Earth-like one. This planet was named Vecta after the company's CEO, Philip Vecta.
God,
so this was the good one. Sorry.
It's just gross that they're naming it after the company and then like the company lead. If we started a new planet somewhere and it was called like Amazonia or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Like,
welcome to Planet Nike. where we have no child labor laws.
Just live in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Good God. I mean, don't count your chickens before they hatch. I mean, that sounds like something that's absolutely going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be called Planet Tesla. Right, like
or at least. I mean, he'll probably Tesla come up with something stupider.
Yeah,
yeah.
Marstopia. You know,
yeah, because he just called his like SUV the Cybertruck. I think the first like city on Mars is going to have something exactly like just as stupid as Marstopia, or like Marsneyland or something. Yeah, yeah.
Like his child is just a string of letters and numbers.
Yeah,
isn't it?
X, and then there's that A and the E like stuck together. There's a 12. Whatever, just stick to Bitcoin, dude. Like, whatever. Just stay out of space.
Yeah, yeah.
On Vecta, they set up 12 colonies between 2129 and 2130. So within 2 years of showing up, they had 12 cities down on the surface. And the planet was ready to go out of the box. It was very fertile, very lush. And by the end of these years, the planet could just feed itself. So Vecta was good enough to just be completely self-sufficient. Basically as soon as the colonies had been set up. In 2133, another group of colony ships passed through en route to play Assassin's Creed in the Altair system.
Of course.
And the UCN
also part
set
of
up...
the Cygnus system, or a constellation.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize I'd be covering this constellation like all month, really.
Right?
All summer. The UCN on their pass through here in the 2130s also set up their military, which is the Interplanetary Strategic Alliance, or the ISA. This is the faction you play as, at least in Killzone 2 and 3. The player character is an ISA colonel or lieutenant or something. I have it written down later.
Cool.
The Helgen Corporation began to make huge amounts of profit by charging passing ships for the luxury of refueling, so they could refine petrosite and other minerals into jet fuel. Basically.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. And in the UCN's constant search for like more, you know, extra solar steel beams to get rid of.
So they haven't figured out Doc Brown's compost machine that he puts on the back of the DeLorean at the end of the first Back to the Future that lets him put a banana peel to power his time travel device.
Not yet.
Not yet. Gotcha.
Not yet. You can't grow bananas on Helgen, so they're still resulting to using minerals, right?
That's why. That's why.
Yeah. No atmosphere is no bananas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know that burning greenhouse gases produces extra atmosphere, so maybe they're just trying to, you know, get some atmosphere on it. Protect yourself from the radiation.
Oh yeah, that could be it. I mean, and the robot miners don't need oxygen, so it's perfectly safe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they're all using gas-powered laptops in their fucking space station. Yeah, recirculating the smoke.
Yeah.
Realizing a sandblasted hellscape was no place for businessmen like us, most of Helgen's administrators moved their offices to Vecta, where it was a lot more comfortable and you could, you know, safely open the windows.
Mm-hmm.
In 2138, the Helgen Protectorate was established to make paperwork easier. It acted like a government within the ISA, which I don't really understand the organization of. So you have the UCN and their military, which is the ISA, and then the Protectorate acting within the ISA itself as well.
Okay, yeah, layers, yeah. Man. Like a Shrek. It's got layers.
Yep. It even set up its own militia, just like in Shrek, when that militia goes to Shrek Swamp.
Yeah. To try and oust Shrek.
Yeah. Don't think about that part, though, too much. The militia within the ISA that existed within the ISA was a little bit just like, we're not going to worry about that yet, right? Like, these businessmen setting up their army? Yeah. Like, nah.
No, they'll be fine. Yeah. They're guys. They brought us here. Free of charge. All we got to do is work with them forever.
Helgen infrastructure was completed in 2149, which allowed the Protectorate to reorganize and rebrand as the Civil Helgen Administration. And then in 2155, they got, like, so fucking jacked up on the free market that they managed to just straight up buy Alpha Centauri from the UCN.
Damn. Whoa. Dude.
So the Helgen Corporation now owns the solar system, which, like, how do you even pitch that?
This makes no... Are they sending Petrosite back to the Sol system? Or...
They must be.
Yeah. Because that's the only way you can actually generate value.
As well.
Yeah.
I love the thought of, like, having to hire someone to evaluate the solar system.
You gotta get an appraiser.
Going around and, like, knocking on rocks looking directly at the sun with a telescope.
Telescope directly into two stars. Looking at both of them at the same time. Just pulls a telescope off his face and he's just got one blood-filled eye. Like... I think about 1.5 million credits will do. Got some nice waterfront here.
The currency is never actually mentioned, so I don't know how much money or what the currency is called that they use, but they were just like, you know, we could probably function better, like, unregulated, so we're just going to buy a solar system from the UN.
Exactly. Space bucks. I mean, they have an army at this point. I'm sure, like, if they told the UCN, like, well, we're just taking it, then, like, the UCN could have sent an army, but, like, it must be hard to, like, just send ships into a solar system, right, and, like, hope they're defended, because they're kind of entrenched there and ready and waiting for you, and they know they have, like, what, 10, 15 years to prepare? How long did you say the trip took?
It's 10 years to get there.
So they just have 10 years to just sit and get ready for them to show up? Like,
it's like a legal battle. It's just a settlement. We don't want to pay our army fees on both sides.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
take
exactly.
your 15 million credits.
It's what the UN was designed to do, I guess.
Settle the purchase of solar systems out of court. Like, what?
I mean, accept sums of cash to prevent war. But...
Oh, right. Yeah, that too. Owning a solar system and charging people for gas made Helgen even more powerful. And in the late 2190s, they got kind of sick of the ISA still being around, kind of like an armed receipt, because the ISA was still there after the purchase from the UCN, and they were the UCN's military.
Yeah.
And they just declared war on the ISA.
Okay.
Yeah. So this would be the first extrasolar war, and it begins in 2200 in earnest. Early on, Helgen forces were victorious in all their battles and forced the ISA to resort to guerrilla tactics. However, the ISA managed to get out a quick 911 call in 2202, and the much more advanced UCN Space Navy arrived and won the day.
Hand me that space trumpet. I gotta call the Space Navy.
Yeah. They sent one guy, like the soldier from Marathon, to run back to the Sol system.
Paul Revere riding a horse with a space helmet on.
Yeah, with the bright red goggles from Killzone 2.
Yeah.
You guys had one episode that I wasn't there for. I clearly remember listening to in Poland, and you guys were launching horses into space. I don't know what it was.
But... a BattleTech episode. Yeah.
Because it was all about Comstar setting up interstellar like phone lines, and that's how they made their bucks.
Yeah, it was the HPG network goes down, so we were just like, yeah, now they're just like back to guys on horseback, the Kevin Costner movie. So after the UCN Navy won the day, many of the Helgen administrators were arrested, which, good on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ISA took over both planets and disarmed the Helgen Corporation.
Yeah, I bet they feel pretty foolish for that purchase now, huh?
Yeah. Between 2204 and 2210, Helgen loyalists began to move and establish new colonies on Helgen itself. So these were like the hardcore libertarians within like the Helgen Corporation. They were just like, the atmosphere regulates the temperature. I don't want any of that fucking shit. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to my hellscape.
Hell yeah.
Soon the largest city of Pyrrhus Deep was founded on Helgen in 2212. During the war, most, if not all, the Helgen orbital platforms, those prefab space stations they had set up, were damaged or destroyed. So the Loyalists were very much starting from scratch. They really were doing like the Blackjack and Hookers thing, where they moved to Helgen because it was named after their corporation that they were loyal to, and just started over. And, you know, consequences be lack of atmosphere be damned, apparently.
Imagine if Adam and Eve chose to leave the Garden of Eden because their fucking corporation like was kicked out, like because Nike wasn't allowed to operate out of there anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, the snake's upset he can't wear shoes. That's why he get Nike kicked out of the Garden of Eden.
Snake told him to go get a bite out of Steve Jobs or whatever.
Yeah.
That's Apple. Yeah, that's good. The environmental pressures of Helgen were so brutal that the people adapted within three generations. So by 2305, the people were considered to be like so evolved that they were a distinct species of human, calling themselves now the Helgast, which is the enemies from the game.
This is really reminiscent of Dune and Dutch Peter. If you're listening, I will eventually someday do an episode on Dune, but especially with the movie coming out at some point this year, I think.
I don't know when.
But there is like a native human population on Arrakis who are just like so changed by living on the desert planet that they have like blue eyes because the spice of Arrakis, like this drug that everybody takes and the reason why it's valuable, has just like changed all their eyes to blue, and they can just like live longer and are stronger and faster than your average human. So
the Helgast are also like physically more strong. They're a very good comparison to like, they kind of exist within, they're not like so different that they're not still human like anymore. They still like exist within like the genus Homo, so you like, we can breed with them like humans could breed with Neanderthals despite being different species of the same genus.
Yeah,
the same thing happens with the Helgast, because there are some characters who are half breeds where one parent is a Helgast and one is a Vecten human.
Cool.
So they haven't changed so much that they're not, you know, you wouldn't have like a Liger or a mule, like some sterile crossbreed or something like that.
Okay. Yeah,
right. Yeah,
sterile crossbreed.
Oh yeah, mules are sterile. You didn't know that.
That's the
yeah, I know. Yeah. It's just like it's an awful thing to hear. I feel like
out of context, it does sound awful. Yeah. Would you say it's your band, Sterile Crossbreed?
Yeah, Sterile Crossbreed. My high school deathcore band, Sterile Crossbreed.
Hell yeah!
It's like an edgy looking donkey on your album.
Yeah. Well, no, a mule. But...
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know what a mule looks like.
Yeah.
All of this was happening in what was considered to be peacetime, that would come to be known as the interwar period. The ISA was just like, well, all those crazy guys moved out onto their desert planet, so we'll just reduce the size of our military. We'll send the Navy back to the Sol system or send them out to other planets, we don't need them here anymore. We'll just use orbital defense stations, you know, which are notorious for being immobile and just chained to the Earth. So not the most, not like the easiest thing to, you know, mobilize in a pinch if you're on the wrong side of the planet when something
mm-hmm.
happens.
Mm-hmm.
They also replaced a lot of the military commanders within the ISA with just, like, government types. So it was very much, like, peacetime, everybody's calming down. All your generals turn to bureaucrats, all your spaceships turn to, like, anchored platforms. Nobody's really worrying about too much anymore. In 2335, Helgen slumped into an economic depression, which lasted until 2350, caused by the desire to shift business to Vecta. What with, like, the Vectan businessmen now taking over from the army men.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously wanting to also shift business away from, like, the openly warmongering Helgast race living on their scary desert planet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it is about those guys. There's something that just makes me not trust them.
Yeah. Might be the fact that they started this entire colony thing with a terrorist attack, allegedly. Yeah.
Why did they decide to make their official company uniforms have glowing red eyes?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's like, oh, it's the most trustworthy color. Like,
I looked up, like, the soldiers and the commanders have four red eyes, so more eyes, higher position.
Instead of the shoulder stripes, they just add more goggles as you get promoted. The president of Helgen is just, like, all just all goggles everywhere.
It's eight stars, stripes across the side.
I award you this for heroic bravery in the defense of Vecna, and it's just, like, a general pinning an eyeball onto a guy's lapel.
I was thinking it's like you've got, like, the scary glowing red eyes, but it's like Happy New Year 2335.
Yeah, just yeah.
Like, the art style for the Helgast is really cool. They are a fusion of all of the kind of early 20th century fascist governments in Europe. So they're very much a fusion between, like, Nazi technology and Italian technology, and even like the Spanish government had, like, very good imagery in their propaganda as well, like those three governments that were all kind of running at the same time. And the Helgast, like, I rewatched a Zero Punctuation review because eventually the Helgast do sometimes kind of seem like they have legitimate grievances, but the art style gave them Nazi helmets, they're just, like, default to the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, not to mention the terrifying red eyes.
Again, they were like, I agree that the ISA should have left. You know, it's not like you buy a house from somebody and they get to just keep hanging out there. Or like, hey, could you guys just watch my dog for the next 2 years? Like, he really likes it here, you know, and it's expensive to ship him back. But at the same time, like, openly declaring war, and then when you lose that war, being like, fine, we'll go to the hell planet, and, like, descending to the hell planet and breeding kind of, like, a new pseudo-generation of barbaric humans doesn't seem like a normal response, you know? Like,
no, it's very extreme. Breeding a new pseudo-race of barbaric humans, Jesus.
Yeah.
This episode requires a lot of context. Like, we're gonna, one clip is gonna end up on The Guardian, and that's how we finally get canceled.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
God, I just want that Ben Shapiro money.
Yeah,
that, baby.
Right wing money, baby.
So this economic depression and the rise of a charismatic leader is also very much taken just directly from our own history. During the depression, a charismatic young man named Scholar Vizari, and this is really fucking weird. His first name is Scholar. Wasn't born a scholar. His first name is just Scholar.
And his parents clearly weren't scholars because they didn't spell it right.
Well, yeah. I mean, good schools were on the other planet. We discussed this.
Right.
That's on Vectas where you could read.
Yeah.
That's what Skylar sounds like through a Helgast face mask.
Ah, that's what I meant.
His name is Skylar, Skylar Vizari rose to power. So he's a charismatic young man. Grew up during the Depression, eventually, obviously, became the leader of the entire planet of Helgen. He had been born in 2307, so he was, like, a freshly minted Helgast, because the 2305 kind of area was kind of when the third generation of, like, evolved people were being born to survive there. So he can survive on the surface, like, no gas mask, nothing like that.
Okay.
Yeah. He sold himself. He sold himself on the superiority of the Hellgast compared to the Vectans. He actually coined the term Hellgast to further distinguish the planet from Vecta. So up until this point, the people living on Helgen were just referring to themselves as like Vectan or something like that. But
human,
like, this
maybe?
Entire time. Sorry?
Human, maybe? Like, is he saying that, like, they're Hellgast, not humans?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, which is, you know, not untrue because of the rapid evolution caused by the shitty environment.
Right? But again, if you're trying to build bridges, not a good move.
No, not a good move whatsoever. I can't believe this desert planet dictator was making shitty choices. Yeah, like, yeah.
Now. We can all learn to cooperate and make the Alpha Centauri system the greatest there is. We're all humans here.
No, we're not. We're Hellgast.
Excuse me?
We're Hellgast, I said.
Yeah, peace talks break down immediately the second he enters the room.
Yeah. Just everybody pulls out their gun as soon as he says Hellgast. Like,
yeah. What's like the scariest fucking name?
Yeah, yeah. What's a... Okay, so I'm familiar with Hell, but what's a ghast? It's from one of H.P. Lovecraft's stories. It's like these horrible monsters from it. Okay, I was just being sure. Yeah, yeah. That's what it's... I'm pretty sure that's what it's originally from.
It's
also
a D&D
monster.
When I Google it, it's a Minecraft monster from the Nether, so that must be
very scary.
The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath, first published in 1943.
There you go.
Featured ghasts.
So Vizari had rallied people around him after naming them all Hellgast. And
yeah, like, you're even... right. We are Hellgast.
Yeah,
this guy gets it. Like, now this guy understands branding.
Yeah, like once he's like started early, he's like handing out pins that he made in his basement or something. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? to further kind of get the people to rally around him, he staged an attempt on his own life in 2347.
Classic.
And like anybody trying to get support, right, just blamed the ethereal concept of the elites for his attempted murder.
Oh yeah, this is classic dictator move here.
Like, oh yeah. This,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is you know, some more recent democratic politicians coming to power and just being like, yeah, no, it wasn't me that did that. It was the elites. And just like everybody on the planet being like, yeah, you're right. It was them.
Yeah.
We're Hellgast.
So the court of public opinion was completely on his side, obviously, after like faking his own assassination attempt. And due to these pressures, the Helgen administration decided to just break up and give all their powers to Vizari, giving him the title of Autarch. And an autocracy is not, like, a corrupted form of government. His rank literally means, like, despotic ruler.
Yeah,
that is just the brand he went for.
There can be no corruption or accusations of corruption because he just has absolute power.
Like, exactly.
Anything he says goes, baby. No need to be corrupt.
Autarch Scholar Vizari, which is too many titles. It's a very kind of, it sounds like a very Mr. Doctor, the sort of thing.
Yeah.
Sure, he rules with an iron fist, but at least he's honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kang.
So while the Hellgast were genetically distinct from humans, he wanted to go even further. And in 2349, he banned written English and replaced it with a new Helgen alphabet.
Okay.
Which still has some punctuation, numbers, and 26 characters. And during the transitional time, English was only allowed on signage at 50% the size or smaller.
I mean, that's a Quebec joke for the listeners.
That is not true. Yeah.
That's a real thing we have in our province.
Oh yeah, you want to talk about some wild government? Jesus. His government even tried to create a new language to do away with English entirely. So Earth is very much in canon here, and English was still the language of business up until this point. Like,
sure, yeah.
Which I think is an interesting detail for this sci-fi. They, you know, I don't know, it seems it's very realistic, I would say.
Yeah, I could easily see it going Chinese or Spanish, right? Like,
with the UN, like our UN right now?
I mean, I think China's going to overtake the UN at some point in the next 15 years, so...
Oh, Jesus.
They're very economic. I'll give them that.
Yeah, industrious. Very industrious.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they tried to create a new language here. But when your entire population only speaks English and you're just like me, Autarch, you there, Minister of Language, which is probably a rank that he just made up and gave to one of his friends. Although we do have a Minister of Language in Quebec, which is fucked up. It's just like, you, make a new language that's not English. Turns out this is, like, too hard, and they gave up. Like, in canon, they just, they could not get away from English. And it's like a, it's like an ego project so hard and so fucking stupid. I am surprised that, like, a real historical dictator or even an existing one has not tried to do this already. Like, Pol Pot reset the calendars and shit in Cambodia, and which is wild, and, like, some other crazy shit has gone down throughout history, but, like, no one has just tried to make a new language.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fundamental to, like, life, existing as a human. Like, we're completely social creatures, right? That's the only way that we've achieved anything is through social contracts. And, like, if you tell people, like, no, you have to completely forget that and try and learn a new one, like, it could never happen, I don't think. Like,
every single person on the planet is being, like, is, like, issued by the government one of those, like, tourist, like, phrase books.
Yeah, yeah.
In a language that no one has ever heard.
Yeah, everyone gets a 3-week subscription to Hellgas Duolingo. Like,
it's the little owl with the red eyes.
The goggles!
You haven't done your Helgen today.
Oh my god.
I better do that.
Oh, I gotta write that down. I'm sorry.
I was going to. It's just like I was doing it, but I didn't want to be using my mic, so I turned the mic off, and then I didn't have the audio playing, so I was just doing the written one for now. Like,
that's so good. Yeah. That scary fucking owl. Just like the helmet, the goggles, and like the breathing pipe coming out of him.
And a carbine.
Oh. Yeah, and of course the Helgen assault rifle. That's like that's the iconic weapon from the games. Mm-hmm. So they gave up on that. Duolingo was like pre-installed in all the Helgen cell phones, but it didn't really work out that way. Killzone on the first Killzone the first, excuse me, on PlayStation the second is now set in 2357 during the Hellgast invasion of Vecta. Yeah, exactly. So. Didn't get his language, got his alphabet, and now time to get rid of the rest of those Vectans because we're better than we are. So the first game takes place during the second extrasolar war. This fails. You, the protagonist, I think it's multiple protagonists in Killzone 1, manage to drive the Hellgast off of Vecta, and then Killzone 2 takes place during Captain Jason Narvel's Vectan counterattack on Helgen in Operation Archangel. So Killzone 2 starts with the Vectan ships, you know, basically just like crossing the street to the other star and counterattacking Helgen itself.
Okay.
Yeah. The player character in this game is Sergeant Thomas Sevchenko, or Sev, and he leads Alpha Squadron during the invasion of Pyrrhus, which is now the capital city of Helgen. I looked it up so you guys could find this out if you didn't know. Pyrrhus was a Greek king who was made famous by his costly victories over the Romans, where he would just stampede his own men into a meat grinder but still managed to win. So this was known as a Pyrrhic victory.
Okay. I've heard that term.
Yeah, the wanton sacrifice of your own forces and coming out on top is, you know, like Stalin would do that as well. So yeah. Again, the Hellgast are very much drawn from like the evil men of history that we're all familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, you said they were very Italian, Nazi, and you know, Spanish communist, or Spanish Republican,
Spanish fascists. Yeah,
but I always thought that the motifs in the game were so Red Army, so Soviet in so many ways.
I thought that the Pyrrhus was the technique of flattening spicy chicken and cooking it.
What?
Pyrrhus?
Oh, berry chicken, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the flattening of chicken at any cost, basically.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care how many men I have to send onto that chicken.
Yeah.
I want that chicken so flat I could eat off of it.
Renters in Pyrrhus would find out soon why the cost of living was so low in their scary name for a city. If you thought faking an assassination was some bitch shit, then get ready.
I didn't.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, Scholar Vizari, Mr. Scholar Vizari did. Vizari, with the help of Colonel Mael, Mael, M-A-E-L.
Mael, yeah.
Yeah, Colonel Mailman. Colonel Mael Radek, and weapon tycoon Johann Stahl detonated a stolen Vectant red dust atomic warhead inside the city. This is him taking his "I'm actually the victim" to its logical conclusion of he faked his own assassination and now he has nuked his own city to blame it on the Vectans. And again, just like, he's just like the uber populist, just like trying so desperately to get everyone on his side.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though the idea was that the ISA would arrest Vizari because they're still kind of bureaucrats at heart, Ricardo Velasquez, who is your like AI companion throughout the game, simply couldn't like hold it in anymore, and he just ended up shooting Vizari in the chest in his like throne room looking place, because you do end up getting to like the Capitol building.
Sure.
Of Paris, and then Rico kills Vizari in the throne room. ISA and Hellgast and civilian casualties were all part of this, were all part of the red dust detonation plan, but the irradiation of the Petra site was not. So they contaminated their fossil fuel to make it even more volatile. Okay. The mineral transformed into something much more kind of fantastical after getting like a healthy dose of radiation, and Killzone 3 picks up, well, like the first mission, the prologue mission, is like 5 seconds after the end of Killzone 2. It picks up in the same room. Killzone 2 and 3 are essentially like one long game.
One long game, yeah.
Basically, just like they were made several years apart because one was a launch game for the PS3 and one came out like later on in that generation.
Yeah, in the cycle.
Yeah. After the prologue, there is a 6-month time skip where everybody gets a better beard and you think Rico dies. Spoiler, he doesn't. And then during this skip, Admiral Orlok, who's another Hellgast politician, ascends to the rank of Autark, and Johann Stahl begins to use the irradiated petrocyte to create more powerful arc weapons. These are kind of like the fancy ones that you can loot off the battlefield that turn people to ash and like power jetpacks and shit.
Okay.
It's all very cool, the weapons in this game. I do recommend playing them. If you have like a PS3, or maybe there's remasters on PS4, I don't know. Like they are like quite good. I really did enjoy them when I played them years and years ago.
Yeah, the one I played, I don't remember anything from the story, but I do remember it being like fine cover shooting combat.
Yeah, it's the FOV is really tight, and you take cover in first person, which is pretty interesting. So like when you peek out, it adds like an extra layer of tension to it, which I thought was, you know, pretty neat. Yeah, get the lore boy stamp of approval, B+, baby.
That's
the highest grade we're legally allowed to give.
Yeah.
So Stahl and Orlok have like the classic kind of power struggle, sexual tension that, like, you know, competing villains in a video game would have.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a very common trope when, like, writing bureaucrats into fiction, where there's like the two most charismatic ones that they hired the expensive voice actors for. They just can't get along. God damn it. Stahl manages to capture Captain Narvil and plans to execute him on live TV. However, Savchenko and Rico manage to foil his plan while disguised as Hellgast soldiers. As we've mentioned multiple times, the Hellgast uniform is like completely covering. You got the spooky goggles and a gas mask and a helmet. You could be literally anyone in that outfit. So the disguise to sneak into the TV station wasn't exactly...
just uniform.
It wasn't big brain thinking. Yeah, it was just like, oh, well...
It's a uniform with some... suspicious bullet holes and blood stains, but a uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, these guys can't recognize each other. We can just walk in. Like, who cares? They all look exactly the same.
Yeah.
Stahl tries to escape. So, like, this is a mission in the game where you save Narvil, and then Stahl tries to escape on a warship, which, again, I don't know how to pronounce this. It's K-H-A-G-E, and it's named after his father who founded Stahl Arms. I don't know if this is pronounced Cage or Kage. I was like reading it to myself as Kage, which K H A G E.
Yeah, I don't. But it was a crapshoot.
Yeah, it was an experimental warship designed specifically to attack Earth. So Stahl had some ambitions. he wanted to, you know, take the 10-year journey to allow Earth to prepare so that he could just attack them and be annihilated in the in orbit, presumably.
This starship is the most advanced technology that mankind has ever seen. It took 10 years of development to develop something so advanced. There's no way they'll be ready for us when we get there.
10 years out of date the moment he arrives.
Yeah, exactly.
A planet can only... So he had been using the 6 months to create something called the Petrosite cannon. So basically just using like irradiated lasers, like irradiated fuel to create a laser, basically, as its main armament.
That's a funny idea for like, if you used our fossil fuels in a cannon, like, is that just a flamethrower? Shooting gas on people?
Just like frozen pucks of oil that you just shoot at people.
Yeah.
Kunk.
It's a t-shirt cannon with like pucks of oil.
Jesus. Oh, speaking of which, slight tangent. I saw this fucking video where I think it's in Russia. There was like these dudes to roll up at a corner store gas station in like this like gnarly ass old van while some guy's filling up his car. And he sees these dudes jump out of their van to like break into the corner store and rob it. And homeboy just takes the fucking gas pistolet out of his car and sprays the entire van with all four guys inside of it with gasoline. And they just immediately freak the fuck out and drive away. Like can you imagine?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Everything you do is significantly higher risk if you're doused in gasoline. You know what I mean? If you're already going into a high risk situation and you're suddenly dousing gasoline, that's like that cranks it up a notch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It really does.
I would feel nervous stepping into the shower to wash the gasoline off myself, let alone robbing a convenience store.
Yeah. Yeah, like we use dish soap to get that gasoline. Yeah, get that gasoline taste out of your mouth. Like, what can you do?
I use definitely dish soap. I saw them use it on the little ducks on that commercial. Yeah.
Right. Ducks, yeah. Yeah. That marketing campaign would be so much cuter if it was just a gasoline soaked Russian robber.
Well, gasoline soaked baby Peter. naked in the palm of somebody's hand as they scrubbed him with a toothbrush.
Like a baby turtle.
Now, can you draw yourself naked in the palm of someone?
Getting scrubbed with a toothbrush.
Oh, yeah. That's a great out of context. It's like, yeah, whatever. This show's about Killzone.
Yeah. I love the idea of somebody at home trying to convince their friends to listen to our podcast and bringing them over to the website and just seeing that picture at like the top above the fold as it is.
Good God. So back to the actual gasoline cannon that is in the fiction here. Mm-hmm. The Petrosite cannon, Shevchenko managed to disable the ship long enough for it to like kind of dangerously drift low into Helgen's atmosphere. You know, kind of like Elon Musk's car or that Chinese rocket that recently was causing people some anxiety.
Yeah, I love the Chinese rocket where space organizations were just like, statistically, it'd be like winning the lottery if it landed on you. Like, okay.
That's not comforting.
That's all the reassurance you got? Like, I buy lottery tickets.
So he manages to disable the ship and then uses just, you know, it's done nothing but solve problems up until now. Gonna fucking nuke it. We're gonna nuke the Kage boys.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. This reacts poorly with its unstable Petrosite cannon, which then when the ship actually crashes into the surface, reacts even worse with the irradiated Petrosite on the surface of the planet, basically igniting the entire atmosphere and surface of Helgen in an instant and burning billions and billions of Helgas civilians to death in an instant. This is called the Terracide, and this is just how Killzone 3 ends.
It's just like a planet-wide devastation.
Yeah, this was not Sev's intention. He just wanted to disable the ship to stop stall and save Earth. Oops.
That's, well, the good news is I'm sure they won't harbor a grudge.
Well, there's one more game in the series, which we're going to summarize briefly here before we sign off. This one seems to be mostly about grudges, from what I can tell. Like I said, this wasn't really what the ISA wanted. They wanted the Hellgast dead, but not like this, I guess. So the survivors from Helgen, because it didn't actually kill everyone on the planet, thankfully, they were brought to Vecta as refugees, because the ISA is still operating, like, really trying really hard to still operate kind of like a government and not just like a military force that was left behind.
Yeah.
Right. They built a gigantic militarized wall around the entire planet, kind of like Isle of Lucy. It was like the big fucking chalk line. And on one side of the planet, they gave it to the Hellgast refugees. And on the other side, they kept it Vecta.
Oof. I mean, there's some real, real life parallels that prove why this doesn't work. Not just I Love Lucy.
This didn't work. As you can imagine, the game is not about a post-racism world in outer space.
Yeah.
Actually,
you know, the key to solving racism is segregation, right? just keep them out, and then we'll have no problems.
If we never interact with these people whose planet we burn to dust, we'll just never be able to fight each other ever again.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, like humans, like I mentioned earlier, political tensions between the two sides of this gigantic wall continued to just kind of lazily escalate during a Cold War period. The Vectans created the Shadow Marshals, which is, you know, like the safest thing to call your police, I think. I think it's very, very good branding. Yeah. And the Hellgast had set up terrorist organizations like the Black Hand. Again, very safe branding. I like that a lot.
And here's our Child Protective Services branch, the Nazgul.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I trust him? So we're going to be back in 2 hours. You can take a popsicle, okay? And just, like, dips it into the hood, and then it's just a stick that comes out.
We got the Special Victims Unit, of course, the Hell's Angels. Everybody loves them. Okay, great. Like,
they have, like, the Ride to Conquer Cancer on their bikes. It's great.
Yeah. They all have, like, event. Pink tassels from their handlebars during Breast Hogs. Cancer Awareness Month. All goes toward funding Susan G. Komen.
So the two groups would, you know, cross the wall, obviously, in unofficial stances and just, like, commit acts of skullduggery. So they had both governments immediately set up shadow organizations to spy on and sabotage the other side of the wall. I don't understand. They set up the wall for peace.
Yeah,
I understand. I don't know how this happened.
Nothing brings people together like division, okay? It's just...
the player character in Killzone Shadowfall is Lucas Kellen, and he's a member of the Shadow Marshals, so you do play one of these kind of cop dudes.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Hand would eventually bomb the headquarters of the VSA, or the Vectan Security Agency, in Vecta City on June 29th, 2390, which pre-ruins my 399th birthday, which would have been the following day.
Damn.
Wow. And now there's a fucking lockdown. I can't go out.
Yeah, it's bullshit, dude.
Yeah, 400 years from now.
All the Hellgast just don't want to have to wear masks, you know? But they have to at all times be wearing their masks with their spooky red eyes.
It would have been a way better sell this past year if we all had scary goggles.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think it would go a lot better if when you took your mask off at a grocery store, you just shriveled up and died immediately. Like, people would start wearing those masks.
No, yeah. There'd still be people that swore that it did nothing, whatever. There'd still be people cutting holes in their masks to drink their straws through. And
like poking a straw just through the Hellgast mask. Just
Oh,
God. This event here, this terrorist attack in Vecta City, kicks off Killzone Shadowfall, which follows Kellen and a half-breed girl nicknamed Echo, as they try and kind of go back and forth and defuse this whole Vectan missile crisis thing from behind the scenes.
Is she sterile too?
I was just gonna say, Peter established earlier that she wouldn't be sterile, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Now she may be, because it just can't happen to people naturally.
Just coincidentally.
Yeah. Coincidentally, Echo is also barren, but it has nothing to do with being a crossbreed. Yeah.
It's not really a plot point. They do mention it very briefly. It's kind of a weird moment between Kellen and Echo, but they don't really bring it up again. It's like an optional level dialogue three. Option.
Yeah, level three. I'm barren. And it's fighting. Like, yeah.
Mission okay. Start.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's Kellen, Echo, and Mario off to save the Mushroom Kingdom.
Will they take Luigi? Is Kellen not Mario in this? He's like playing second fiddle in his own fucking game.
Oh, Luigi's
a hell
of
a guy.
Oh, yeah,
he's trying to catch the gas with his vacuum.
Yeah, Luigi's mansion is on the other side of the wall, so he had to like break back into it.
Exactly.
The Cold War part here is because the Vectans had been, you know, just in case, developing a bioweapon that only kills the Hellgast, because the last time they mass murdered them, it was just like, hey, whoa, that was an accident. So that we let you guys move in. If we do it again, it's going to be on purpose, and that's guilt-free, baby.
Yeah. Look, we messed up, okay? With the cage, the spaceship there. Am I saying that right, Tori? Cage? Kage?
Yeah.
Okay. We messed up, okay? We didn't mean to blow it up. We didn't mean to kill almost, you know, everybody on your planet. We lamented the fact that 2% of spaceship survivors died when we first came over here to Alpha Centauri. We understand that we killed about 98% of you guys, but we gave you your own sweet room in our apartment as long as you don't come over to any of our previously developed places. You know what I mean? Like, you got some sweet jungle to work with. So I don't know why you guys are so mad, but if you keep acting up, we will kill the last 2%.
Yeah. Hey, we did it by accident. Don't make me do it again.
Yeah.
Like the official stance of the ISA is just like the motto is just like live free or die or whatever. It's like ISA, don't make us do it again. So as it happens that Jorhan Stahl had actually managed to escape his Kage cage before it caused the Terracide, and had still been working behind the scenes to destabilize Vecta because he still wanted to attack Earth. Obviously, by the end of Shadowfall, you foil his plans and save the world.
This guy's got some fucking 90-degree motivations here. He is really, like, not focusing on the task at hand.
No, not at all. But he was the one, he was also helping manipulate, like, the societies to, like, continue the Cold War throughout Shadowfall. And that's Killzone, baby. Yeah, that's all them games. I think they're definitely worth playing, despite the fact we did have, like, a summary in there with the lore. There wasn't tons. Because, like, PS2 games, these poor bastards. Killzone came out, like, within the same week of both Halo 2 and Half-Life 2, and was a PS2 exclusive. It didn't stand a fucking chance. So, yeah, it didn't kind of blow up the same way. And obviously, Guerrilla now seems to have moved on to Horizon Zero Dawn, which, personally, I like more. But I wouldn't mind seeing another Killzone again one day.
They lost the two H games, so they made their own H game. Halo and Horizon, that's ours.
Green Hill Zone. So
Horizon, Horizon, we should do sometime. That would be a fun
absolutely.
One.
Hey, got another one coming out. We can get that SEO, baby.
Yeah,
Aloy's gonna boost this. Take us to the moon.
Yeah.
I've been your host.
We'll call ourselves the Horror Boys, so we can be an H game too.
Sorry, yeah.
I've been your host, Peter O'Donohue. You can find me at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram or in the teams and project section of squaredidea.com, baby. That's my publisher. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you to everybody who just recommends like great topics in the Discord. Go to theloreboys.com/about. Hop in the server. Some people just jump in to leave a suggestion and then just vanish to the night, which is perfectly acceptable. I don't think I've ever interacted with Ridokun ever, but it was their idea to do Killzone, and I think that was
and
great. So.
What an idea.
Yeah. What about you fellas? You got anything you want to plug?
Jamie?
The rest of the show?
Not much to plug. I'm going on a little vacation soon, so the next time you hear me, I will be pre-recorded. But actually, every time you hear me, I am pre-recorded.
Yeah.
Technically true, except for the mailbags. which we'll do another one eventually. Another stream night with the folks.
Right. My sobriety May challenge is done, so we can do it at some point in June.
Peter, it's 7:19 on May 31st. You
I did have a beer this afternoon.
And we got wasted on Saturday. I don't know what you're talking about.
The week before that, like, got wasted on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I was sober for like 26 days. Yeah. It's pretty fucking good. I'm back into my jeans. I'm wearing a belt again for the first time in a while. It was totally worth it.
It was a challenge. I did say it was a challenge. I succeeded.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Thanks.
We did get shithoused, though.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thanks so much, like Peter said, for hopping in the Discord and interacting with us. It means the world. If you guys want to support the show, the number one thing you can do is tell your friends. The number two thing you can do is leave a review. And the number three thing you can do is join the Discord, probably, and just keep the community alive there. And the number four thing you can do, of course, is to support us financially and make all this make economic sense for us and help us with, you know, upgrading sound stuff and being able to do this a little bit more. And if you want to do so, you can go to patreon.com/theloreboys. We have a couple tiers there. One of them is as low as $3 a month, which we respect, love, and appreciate everybody who joins, no matter the bracket that you join at. And you all get to make suggestions for topics. You don't have to be a patron, but we might lean a little heavier in their direction. The truth is, I always just lean in whichever suggestion interests me the most, but... So anybody who's had a suggestion of mine recently, congrats. Huh? And if you guys don't trust Patreon, we do, of course, also have Loreboys Prime. We've had it for much longer than Patreon, and we've always liked our Loreboys Prime members more than the patrons anyway.
I think so.
I mean, every week we offer you guys something, I like to think, pretty unique. And, you know... We don't ask for too much in return. We know that the gas craze in the States of people filling up the trunks of their cars with gasoline at the pumps has kind of come to a close. But we are asking you guys to get us as much gas as you can, because as Peter said, either during our sound check or at the top of the episode, gas prices have been going up here in Quebec, and Jamie's computer laptop is not going to run itself. You know what I mean?
Dude, I'm off for 2 weeks about to play WoW the Burning Crusade, and I'm not sure how I'm going to get through the first couple days with these prices.
Jamie has been hosing himself down with gas, and he's just plans to wring out his clothes anytime his computer starts to get a little low.
The funnel rattling around on top.
On top of his computer. Yeah. Just like wringing out his, like... gas-soaked underwear on top of his laptop, just letting it all just soak in.
I've siphoned out, I only got like half a liter, but I got it out of the lawnmower back. That'll keep me going for a couple hours.
We do offer you guys something in return, so everybody who sends in some gas in whatever receptacle you deem safest and most convenient for you. We've been working on a little something ourselves. We've been doing a reenactment. I shouldn't say a reenactment, kind of a retelling of Shakespeare's King Lear, which we're calling Dinosaurs versus Drones. And it features a lot more drones and dinosaurs than the original King Lear, his daughters. His favorite daughter, of course, a dinosaur. The other two daughters are, of course, drones. Make sure to send us gas and you'll get exclusive rights to come view us live twitch.tv/theloreboys whenever that production hits the stage.
DVD in theaters soon.
Yeah,
Shakespeare's DVD.
Yeah, Shakespeare's DVD. And that would constitute a Loreboys.
Loreboys!
Out. Loreboys.
Mine.
Loreboys.
Loreboys here.
JB, say Loreboys.
Loreboys here, the number one Among Us podcast.
Mungie podcast.
Yeah. Is this Among Us? I missed that.
That's pretty sus, Peter.
Yeah, I missed that meme completely because I'm an internet boomer who's never been on Reddit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.